Thank you, Anna, for the introduction. I would like to thank CST for allowing us to come over here and present our work. And thank you for doing it in Boston. Really a welcoming change from Arizona weather. We are like, what, 100, 110 right now? So this is good. So our presentation is on racial and ethnic disparities in trauma rates, regardless of rurality in Arizona. So we'll be discussing the burden of trauma, describing the disparities in trauma, if there is a disparity, and if there is a disparity, it's by racial and ethnic categories, by urban and rural area, and what is the disparity by each and every mechanism of injury, and what's the influence of alcohol in that. So describing the burden of trauma, it is well known fact that trauma is a burden to the system, injury is a burden to the system. As you look at the rates provided by the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, unintentional injury was the fourth leading cause of death in 2013, followed by first heart disease, cancer, chronic lower respiratory, and then unintentional injuries. And then when we did the national age-adjusted death rate for injuries by race and ethnicity, and this is again the graph is from Center for Disease Control and Prevention, VISCOR's injury mortality report. If we see that unintentional group, American Indian and Alaska Natives have the highest mortalities. Then in the suicide, whites have the highest mortalities. Homicide and legal intervention, black had the highest mortality. So we can see that there is a disparity in injury mortality, and we saw in the previous presentation, as John mentioned, that health disparity do exist. You know, it's already a well-proven fact. The only thing is that what we couldn't find from CDC was plain injury rates. What we found is the injury mortality rate, but not the injury rates to see among different rates, you know, what is the magnitude of the injury rate. And that was one of the reasons for that was missing data in some of the racial and ethnic categories, making the rates unstable. So we couldn't find just plain simple age-adjusted injury rates by the race and ethnicity, but just the mortality rate. So what the literature is saying about disparities in trauma by race and ethnicity. So again, it's not something new what we have done. It's already proven that there is a racial and ethnic disparity, not only just in injury or trauma, but in chronic diseases. In each of the chronic diseases, there is some kind of disparities by race and ethnicity. Those research, which especially done in injury and trauma, is they are limited to one or two racial or ethnic categories. If they are comparing it, it is white versus non-whites, or Hispanic versus non-Hispanic. And or if they have concentrated on one ethnic group, like what is the trauma burden among American Indian, what is the trauma burden among blacks, not comparing like, you know, four or five racial ethnic groups together. And as I mentioned, you know, national level analysis also, we couldn't find any injury rates because of large proportion of missing data. So previous studies versus our study, so most of those studies have used national data sources are like hospital discharge database and vital records. Or if the studies have come from one single health institution like a level one trauma centers. And those most of the studies have focused just on urban or rural, so you know, just focused on the urban population or rural. There is one study we found, again done in Arizona, that study had control for urban and rural location, but it talked just about injury mortality after controlling for urban and rural location, and not about all kinds of injuries and mechanism and influence of alcohol. And again, the racial comparison groups were limited to either white, black, and Hispanic, or American Indian versus non-American Indian. So, you know, comparing the two racial groups at a time. So our study, we have used the Arizona State Trauma Registry for 2011 and 2012. Arizona State Traumatology Study received data from 27 hospitals, 8 level 1 trauma centers, 15 level 4, and 4 non-designated facilities submitted voluntarily to the registry. I don't know how many of you are familiar with trauma registry, but it is in trauma registry we do not collect each and every injury. It is limited. There are some inclusion criteria to be qualified as a trauma, and some of the criteria are, you know, if there is a trauma team activation, or if the ICD-9 codes is between 800 to 959, or if there is an emergency department fatality, or if the injury leads to a hospital admission, then it is qualified as trauma. What it does not capture is on-scene fatalities who, you know, if they did not make up to the hospital. Patients seen at non-trauma centers, of course, because they are not submitting data to us. Patients injured in Arizona but transferred to border state trauma centers. So we do not collect those. The state trauma registry captures about 189 data elements, including demographics, pre-existing comorbidities, pre-hospital treatment, emergency department care, complications, injury severity score, outcomes, many things. So why there is a need to adjust for location? So Arizona has a very unique demographic structure. We have 14 counties and only 4 is classified as urban. One was recently added, so you can see, like, you know, only 3 previously. And so most of the other counties are rural counties. Our American Indian population, like Arizona has a third largest American Indian population after California and Oklahoma. And most of the American Indian, like if there is 50% of the American Indian population resides in rural areas, whereas other race and ethnic, other race and ethnicities, they reside over 85% in the urban area. So we do have some kind of location disparities, by demographics in Arizona. And if we see at this graph, you can see this is a population. 2012 Arizona population by race and ethnicity by location. Just the last one, which talks about American Indian or Alaska Native, we see the distribution is almost similar between urban and rural, slightly higher in rural, whereas rest of the ethnicities, more than 85-80% lives in urban area. So the question came up over here when we saw these. I mean, first we did the analysis and we just did the age-adjusted rates by race and ethnicity, and I just basically took it over to our data team. We have our physicians also involved in that team, and so one of the physicians is like, "Watson, do you think so? These rates are too higher. It's more about race and ethnicity. I think it's more about the location, because most of your RS and ethnicities resides in urban area. So if you are saying that, okay, whites have the higher rates." But because most of them are in the urban area, where American Indian, if you are telling me, is higher rate compared to other ethnicity, but it's because they half the population, more than half, is residing in rural area. So I think it's the urban and rural and not the ethnicity which is making the difference. So we are like, so me and Maureen are looking at each other, and then we had a bet. We're like, okay, let's have a pizza bet. If we won, I think it's the race and ethnicity and not the location. And he's like, no, it's the location, not the race and ethnicity. So we decided, okay, there is certainly urban and rural location is playing some kind of influence on the trauma rate, and we need to adjust for that location, if we are going to say something about the race and ethnicity. Just because the Arizona population is such a uniquely distributed. So that's the reason we then decided to do the location and age-adjusted traumatic injury rates for 100,000 Arizona residents. We used a direct method of standardization, and we had to use 2011 and 12 Arizona population as our standard population and not the census, because what we needed was by race and ethnicity, by age, and then by urban and rural location, the population for each cell, you know, and by sensors we didn't have that available. So what we decided is we combined the 2011 and 12 Arizona population, made it a standard population, and applied our race and ethnicity specific rates on that standard population using a direct method of standardization to calculate the age and location adjusted trauma rates. So race and ethnicity was categorized into five groups. Now, the way we collect data in trauma registry is we have two separate variables, race and ethnicity. So ethnicity is divided into two groups, white, Hispanics and non-Hispanics. So they have to, patients will have to first select, okay, Hispanic or non-Hispanic. And then they go to, it goes to the race variable where you select white, American Indian, Alaska Native, Asians, black or other. So if the patient has selected Hispanic and the race is white, they are categorized into Hispanic. So if any patients have selected Hispanic as their ethnicity, they are into Hispanic. So American Indian, Alaska Natives, if they select Hispanic as their ethnicity, and under race, if they have selected American Indian, they are into Hispanic categories. And that's true for other races too. And so it might be is that whatever the race we are seeing over here might be an underestimation for some of the racial categories if they have selected ethnicity as Hispanic and they are under Hispanic group. So the six age groups we used, there are six age groups to do the age adjustment, and we used urban and rural locations. So we have four of the counties we did the we are combined to our urban locations, and the rest of them were rural. We wanted to do by the zip code, you know, for a really precise urban and rural classifications, but again then we didn't have by zip code, we didn't have the population data. So we were limited to do by counties and divide them into urban and rural location. So we had a total of 58,034 cases in 2011-12. As we see, 57% of those cases, the trauma cases, happen in white non-Hispanic population, 11% American Indian and Alaska Native, 1.8% Asian, black 4% and 27% Hispanic. The one thing again, this shows that if we see in all other ethnicities, around 23% in white non-Hispanic and 23% Asians, the injury location is rural area. Hispanic is just 13% and black is 5%, while in American Indian and Alaska Native, the rural area 67%. So that's why, again, the, you know, same thing, the question came up, is that it's a rural area which is playing more influence on injury and not the race and ethnicity. So this is, we didn't do the age adjustment over here, we adjusted for the location, urban and rural, and that's a trauma rate by race and ethnicity for different age categories. And if you see, most of the race and ethnicity categories, they follow the same pattern, is the injury, trauma rates, trauma rates goes high after the age of 15, then it's at the peak 15 to 24, and then it starts declining. But in American Indian, Alaska, they are highest for all the age categories, but it keeps on growing even after 15 to 24, like 25 to 34 age, it reaches a peak, and then it starts declining. So obviously we know that age is playing a role over here, and we need to control for age, we need to adjust for age. And this graph talks about is how the, again, the rural and urban location is playing a role in trauma rates, and then there's a need to control for it. So if we see in American Indian and Alaska Native, that between urban and rural area, the disparity is really very high compared to other, like in Asian also the disparity is very high. Black, urban and rural area, almost the rate, trauma rates are almost similar. Hispanic, little higher in rural, white, non-Hispanic, again little higher, while the disparity is really high among Asians and among American Indian and Alaska Natives. So Again, both these graphs shows us that age has an influence on trauma rate, location has an influence on trauma rate. If I'm going to talk about race and ethnicity disparities, we need to control for age and location both to come up with trauma rates. So I'm going to now give to Maureen, my colleague, and she will be presenting the results of our study then.
Thanks, Vassal. She and I decided to tag team this presentation. I hope you guys don't mind. So now we're going to go into the results. Everything you see from here on out is age and location adjusted. And so our first is the overall trauma rate. As you can see, American Indians or Alaska Natives have 1.7 times the risk of trauma as compared to white non-Hispanics, who are our baseline group. Asians have the lowest risk of trauma, and Blacks and Hispanics were comparable to white non-Hispanics. When it goes to alcohol-related trauma, and for our purpose, alcohol use is defined as self-reported by the patient, or they were tested positive, or alcohol was suspected in the field, and it does not actually indicate any level of intoxication. So this is just if alcohol was somewhat related to the trauma. American Indian Alaska Natives had 5.6 times the risk. Asians had far lower risk at 0.17. Blacks also had a higher risk, and Hispanics, again, were comparable to white. So now we're going to go into mechanism of injury. We'll talk about blunt injury first. Motor vehicle trauma, which is usually unintentional. American Indians and Blacks both had elevated risk. American Indians 1.3 times. Asians were lower risk than whites at 0.66 times, and once again you see Hispanics as comparable to whites. Fault, again, an unintentional injury usually. American Indians had 1.3 times the risk. Here, as in with motor vehicle, the risk is not quite as high as some other injuries, but it's still an elevated risk. Asians and Blacks have a lower risk of falls as compared to whites, and once again, Hispanics is comparable. Struck by and against, which is injuries that are incurred by colliding with a moving or stationary object, which is usually intentional in nature. This could be abuse, a fight or a sports injury or domestic abuse. So American Indians, it's a lot higher. It's four times the risk as compared to whites. In Black, you also see that it's elevated 1.75, and here we see that Hispanics also have a significantly higher risk, and in Asians it's actually again lower. For other blunt trauma, this is kind of a catch-all, so I won't go into too much explanation, but this includes non-traffic pedal cyclists, other transport, suffocation and drowning, and basically all the other blunt trauma, and it's a similar pattern to what we've been seeing. So now I'm going to talk about penetrating trauma. Cut pierce, which is about 3/4 of the time intentional, we see a much higher risk in American Indians. Again, it's 5.4 times the risk as compared to white non-Hispanics. Blacks also quite elevated at 2.6 times, and here we see that in Hispanics it's also elevated significantly, and again with Asians it's a lower risk. Firearms, the picture actually changes, and among Blacks there's a 3.8 time higher risk than whites, and in American Indians they're not the top race ethnic group. They have a 1.6 time relative risk. Hispanics are third in with a 1.53 relative risk, and Asians are, once again, the lowest risk category. And here's our casual penetrating injuries, which include natural and environmental, machinery, falls, and struck by and against can be considered penetrating. And we see that American Indians and Hispanics have elevated risk. Blacks are comparative to whites, and Asians are lower. So then when you look at intent of injury, there are some interesting trends. So American Indians have 1.25 times the relative risk of unintentional injury, and Hispanics are comparable to whites, and then blacks and Asians have a lower risk of unintentional injury in comparison to whites. When you look at the homicide and assault, this is one of the biggest findings of our study. We found that American Indians have 6.7 times the risk of homicide or assault injuries in comparison to whites, and then blacks had 3.3, and it was also elevated in Hispanics, a 1.6 times the risk of homicide or assault injuries. And then suicide or self-inflicted, it was also elevated in American Indians. Blacks were comparable, and it was lower in Hispanics and Asians. And then we looked at overall mortality, and we found that American Indians had 1.9 times the risk of overall trauma mortality. It was comparable in blacks at 1.03. It was not significant, and slightly lower in Hispanics and significantly lower in Asians. So there were some limitations to our study. As Vatsal mentioned, there may have been some underestimates. So the Arizona State Trauma Registry only captures patients actually seen at trauma centers. So if someone died on scene or were transferred to a non-trauma center or a border state trauma center, they were not captured in the registry. And the U.S. Census has said that over 50% of American Indians self-report as American Indian in combination with another race or ethnicity. With another race or ethnicity. And in Arizona, there are 22 tribes, and a lot of them have Hispanic backgrounds. And so we believe that this may have led to a good percent of misclassification of our American Indian population. So we think that this may be actually an underestimate of the trauma in our American Indian population. So as Vatsal said, we cannot get our location estimate any lower than county based on the denominators that we were looking at. We would love to have gone with a smaller area estimate, such as zip code, but because of the fact that we were breaking down by age, race, and urban versus rural, we had to look at our categorization based on county. So, in conclusion, Asians have the lowest trauma rates based for mortality and alcohol-related trauma. All mechanisms of injury, in both intentional and unintentional injury. American Indians have the highest for mortality, alcohol-related trauma, and all mechanisms of injury, except for firearms, and they also have the highest rates for intentional and unintentional injury. And blacks have the highest rate for firearm trauma, and they're the second highest for overall trauma, mortality, alcohol-related rates, motor vehicle, and struck by and against. And Hispanics are second highest rate for fall, and they're fairly comparable to our white population in Arizona. And so in the future, we would like to focus on the American Indian population do a multivariate analysis to control for other potentially confounding factors, and study the risk factors influencing trauma, and investigate this seemingly protective effect in the Asian population. Thank you. Any questions? Yeah, go ahead.
It looks like a lot of the data you presented, suggests that alcohol is a big factor. I'm wondering if you would see these same racial disparities if you just controlled just for alcohol. Yeah. Like, if you looked at alcohol involvement, would you still see like the big odds ratios for American Indian and Alaska Natives if you looked at just alcohol-related, alcohol-related, or non-alcohol-related, the non-alcohol-related types of injuries?
Right. So we did that. I mean, we haven't done any publications or presentation on that, but this second part of the study is that we are going to do the multivariate analysis, and then we stratified by alcohol, non-alcohol. But even if in the non-alcohol part, American Indian did have a higher rate of injury. Yes.
So what's the total number of hospitals in Arizona, and how many of, what percent of them are captured in the trauma?
So
registry. And another question is also, were there any hospitals from the Indian Health Services that are captured in your trauma registry data set?
These are the trauma rates, and so of course we do not capture each and every injury, being it's a trauma. We have seven level one trauma centers in Arizona, and the previous work has suggested that between these level one trauma centers and level four trauma centers, we do capture most of the trauma in Arizona. So we do, because we do get lots of rural patients transferred to Arizona, and just because the geography is so unique, all the level one trauma centers are in urban area, and there is a very high rate of transfers from rural area if there is injury happens to. So ultimately, their patients. They come to level one trauma center. They get either transferred or flown from rural area. So they do claim the previous work that we do see most of the trauma patients at the trauma center. Assuming that in Arizona trauma registry to capture most of the trauma, but yes, I would it's not all the hospitals. So we are missing patients. Injury patients treated at other hospitals and gone home.
Excellent presentation. I'm familiar. You also have a nice report that you did on the Native American Trauma Center population that you folks have released. I know you folks well. So I talked with Brooke Helio quite a bit. Kind of a couple ideas or suggestions or thoughts. We've done some published research, and you can look at more into that specifically with TBI. We did find, though, that there was significant differences. We actually had to, when you move to a multiple regression, actually go to more of a GEE model, because there's a clustering of the hospitals, and that really has, with your trauma centers, that really bifurcates with your trauma ones versus, at least for us, Oregon versus 2, 3 and 4. So that helps do some significant adjustment there in the GE model, and that might actually impact your mortality outcomes. Another suggestion, too, is including your ISS scores. We can just do a bifurcated, 15 and above or below on your population to kind of adjust for the injury severity and for some of the predictors of the outcomes. And it was interesting that I would be also curious, I think, if I understand also, you also collect other drugs in addition to alcohol. It would be an interesting conversation to include or report on with that. And it might be helpful just to see, though, what overall actually your denominator for each one of those groups, along with those that actually were, we see this in ours of how many within the groups, and then how many actually were either tested or admitted, that really strongly holds data one way or another. And I was curious how that was.
That that's true. The one of the reasons we didn't, for these presentations, we didn't do the multivariate analysis is that our main focus was on the injury rates, and because it's not a binary outcome like mortality, we couldn't do the multivariate analysis, and there were no studies present which were giving you the plain the magnitude of injury, the injury rates, and that being that purpose in mind, we decided to come up with do the relative risk and come up with the age and location adjusted rates to just to get the magnitude effect.
I guess one quick comment on the question. You said you had some concerns about misclassification, I think, because you're in the race ethnicity stuff. Have you tried, one suggestion might just be if you just get rid of the Hispanic, non-Hispanic classifications and then look at things with those four race categories, if the odds ratios fall out the same way, that might give you a little bit more confidence that you're not splitting your data out too weird because of people reporting Hispanic, non-Hispanic. So. That was just a suggestion for maybe a concern you had. And my question is, I'm actually in criminal justice, and we see the opposite effect with crime. So, like, cities and urban areas tend to have way more crime than rural areas. Do we have hypotheses about why you tend to see this effect where more stuff going on in rural areas?
Well, there's a few different reasons. It depends on the type of injury. For example, motor vehicle injury in rural areas. In rural areas, you know, there's poorer roads, you know, less likelihood of being pulled over, things of that nature. So people tend to speed, they don't wear their seatbelts, things like that. So they're more likely to get into not only a car accident, but they're more likely to get hurt in a car accident. And then, you know, the fact that alcohol use is so prevalent in rural areas, there tend to be a lot more fights because of that. That's one of our hypotheses. I'm not entirely sure why some of the other injuries would, like, I don't think that falls was that much higher, but I can't really see a reason why falls would have gone so be elevated in a rural area.
Sometimes the populations in rural areas are older and they're more prone to falls.
Yeah. There you go.
Just for your age rates.
There you go.
You're also talking about increased road miles out in the, and you get up to speed out in rural areas.
Yeah.
You're not, when you're driving around a city,
you're not
at 70 miles
an hour,
but
though.
In rural areas, you tend to be, can be.
And
your ISS score will actually
be And another thing in Arizona is we have a lot of wilderness. A lot of people go out and rock climb. They, you know, hike, and you can get really injured out there. So that's one of the things.
One comment on ethnicity. In New Mexico, we do it the same way. And that's after considerable study. We looked at that very carefully with the preferred race question on the BRFSS and the YRS surveys. It does misclassify, but our feeling is it misclassifies less, and actually our data says that misclassifies less than the other way of doing rate of smallest group, which is what we used to do. So we switched to that a few years ago after some study had caught some flack. So as a neighboring state with some similar populations, we think you find that the misclassification is not a deal killer. You do misclassify some people, but it's not that bad. And I guess the other comment about the injury rates rural, you might also consider occupational. A small-time farmer gets to work with heavy equipment and large animals all by himself.
That's true.
That can be kind of hazardous.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have two quick questions. One is, when you do the multivariate analysis, are you thinking about effect modification or statistical interaction between morality and race, ethnicity, and ethnicity?
We haven't started, but that's a very good point. We can keep that in mind, yeah.
And then maybe this was the part of the talk I missed, or the intro, but what do you think race is a proxy for? Since when you don't change race, it's not a factor that we can influence in public health. We can influence racism, but what do you think in your state, what race is the proxy for?
I think it has a lot to do with poverty rates. I also think because we have 22 tribes and it's 22 different cultures, there's a lot of, as our co-presenter was talking about health literacy, you know, even though there is not a direct correlation there that he was able to talk about, there does seem to be, you know, a lot of disparities that can be seen. And so I think that within the rural tribes, that there's a lot of work to be done. And I think that these rates really speak to that.
I'm particularly interested in the protective effect of the Asian, right? We see that over and over in the Massachusetts data, that the Asian population has lowest injury rates for most things. I would say burns, I think, is different, and falls is also a little different. But for other types of injuries, there seems to be a protective effect that, you know, you'd want to build on if you could. And I'm just wondering if you have any thoughts.
Well, just being an Asian, my hypothesis is very different, is that, you know, the way Asians have entered to this country is it's based on the qualification. So we see more educated people entering the country. Otherwise, they are not allowed. They don't get the visa. So when I think, and they constantly live under the fear, because they have to reach to the stage of getting the green card and the you know, citizenship through the legal system. So they don't want to get any tickets. They don't want to get any kind of a fight with the system. So they are always very cautious group. I don't think so. If you have all the agents from the Asian countries, I don't think so we'll see any kind of difference. But I think you do get a very, the selection bias in the Asian group over here. You know, if you get a very selective population, I don't know. Do you agree?
Yeah, totally.
Right, so it's a very selective group what you have over here, the Asian group.
And like us, your Asian population is probably very small.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we have, ours is so small, we really can't say anything about it.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, say, for the Northwest, you have a different clustering of Asian population in urban and rural areas. So your pattern, maybe a larger population, we see more of a cluster in urban areas.
Yeah, and that's true. I think the rural area, as we saw the demographics, the Asian population was very small in rural areas. Most of them is again urban, again because of the same thing is that education, and they want to be where the jobs, you know, they get their visa and they get the process of immigration done, which is possible just in urban area.
Any other questions?
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.